Okay. Off we go here. Very nice day. Didn't get cold last night at all. Forecast get down to like 40, which is really quite nice. You know, didn't freeze. Of course, it's still early in the year. We're only coming to the back half of November here. Thanksgiving's next week. It's probably my favorite holiday because it mostly revolves around food. And, well, what are you going to do? That's pretty much what it revolves around. Anyway. The noontime constitutional here. Watching a documentary about corn and kind of an interesting little thing about corporatization, what people have to do, what ends up happening to things, and how you look at that. So anyway, excuse me. I should have taken a back walk down the canal. But I didn't. But you know what, I can. Let's do it. I usually make two big circuits around something. I think today I'll just take a different walk. Our irrigation ditches are pretty much been abandoned in the last few years. The drought extended so much. I don't know how much rain we would have to get. Of course, it's not a question of getting rain here. It's getting rain somewhere else to get the water level up at the various lakes from which irrigation comes. I think the irrigation around here comes from Ute Lake. And, you know, it's just, you know, I recall a few times that they'd actually run water down the irrigation ditch here at the Ag Science Center. But it seems like it's been a few years since we've done that. I've been here for 8 years, and I'd say probably 2 or 3 years there's been water brought up by the fact that I went to go pay my taxes, and there's about, I don't know how much of my tax bill, property tax, goes to the irrigation district, which I don't profit at all. I guess it was supposed to be, you know, supposed to contribute to the larger economy, and that was to justify, you know, what that tax goes to pay for the maintenance and stuff like that, of which, you know, there's been very little maintenance done because it's been used so rarely. So I'm going to go there's a piece of land for sale. I don't know if I really get close to the back side of it particularly, but I'll take a look. I usually walk someplace else, but today I'll make a special case. Go this other route. I don't think I've ever walked with my five-finger shoes on a paved road before, or if I have, it's been a long time. And it's a different sensation than walking down a dirt road. Dirt roads are much smoother. But, you know, that's all relative to a rolling wheel. I guess it really doesn't make any difference. And this is getting to be a pretty rough road, but I do recall that this thing was repaved since I came here. But that's been a while. Anyway, so you know, it ended up being kind of a depressing little documentary. You know, it would probably, and I would doubt that it did very well for the simple reason that it was a little esoteric. And I only nominally come from an agricultural background. My grandparents were not agricultural. My great-grandparents were. Other parts of the family stayed a little bit. Well, not really them either. So it really ends up being kind of an interesting little sideline. Yeah, I'm walking past. This was a part of the irrigation ditch they actually sealed in, you know, poured concrete to try to get more water down the far end. And getting filled up with weeds, garbage. It's really not a, you know, anyway. It's not much of a I think technically they could still water, although they put in a pivot now. I don't even know if they're still using a... Oh, is this new? I don't think so. Or maybe it is. It looks... It could be new. This looks to be... kind of an overflow. This wasn't here as far as I recall. This looks like it's going to be an overflow for wastewater. If they don't produce enough of it, it'll overrun into here. Yeah, that sure looks like what they've done. I don't know. Anyway, I don't remember the cistern being here. But there it is. Yeah, I do recall seeing it on the map. These roads used to be a lot better maintained because they used to have to use them on a regular basis. Now I just have to be forgot because I think, we should know what on earth is happening to our irrigation money, all the money that is earmarked for irrigation. Now that they're not particularly doing it, what that money is now being used for. You know, just cropping up. You know, who knows? Who knows what these things do anymore? Both sides of the land I'm walking down are owned by New Mexico State University. Still safe so far. Huh. Is this the... Oh, this is the, this is where they took the wastewater. Take it over to the other pivot. I know the picture I was looking at on Google Earth is a little old because the new pivot wasn't in yet. Not too old, though. Because the picture of my house had, can't even really walk through this. I'm trying to avoid weeds too much. This isn't abandoned. This is an abandoned. Getting a lot of clients on me. Feels like I'm getting stickers. Okay. Anyway, who knows at what point if these properties will just be deeded back over to the university. But, let me tell you, it's going to take a lot of maintenance to even get to this stuff anymore. Pop a few tires trying to get a truck through here today. You have to blade it first. Okay. And this is kind of, the whole history of the Ag Science Center. What little I know about it is rather interesting. You know, large bunch basically failed efforts to do better scale agriculture. First it was an attempt to do dry land agriculture, and that kind of fell apart. So they tried for quite a while. They worked out for about 50 years. Best way to use this stuff. My own family did mostly dry land wheat in, near Clovis, where they've worked this over and put a good solid fence on. I used to come down here, but now I think this is Yeah, and they've redone this thing to try to keep people out of it. And this is pretty new. It's pretty new stuff. So I don't know if it's... I don't really know what it is. But, and they cleaned out this side of the thing. They cleaned out. Anyway, okay. Well, there's no point. Don't want to go through a fence. Pretty much, crossed over New Mexico State University land. So interesting, they got signs over here that somebody takes the road. And these signs are put up to tell people that these places are being watered with wastewater. Go drink the water. Anyway, so started out as dry land. Then when they got the irrigation stuff in, they started saying, well, let's transition over to talking about irrigated stuff. Clay County really went to irrigation. And when it finally came down to it, now we're most of the research is going to be in using wastewater, The big stuff taken out, I guess. A little bit of filtering done. Put out here. What kind of things are going to be grown to, keep up changing times, I guess. Whole new, and now as I get what a lot of this documentary was about. It's called King Corn. I watched it for free. I think you can either choose Hulu or YouTube, or I think it came from Crackle, really. I'm not sure exactly. I'm sure it's available in many forms. And, so there is I got this between farming and maritime and farming now. The old timers, most of whom are selling out. They had a little thing. There was one guy who was selling out, getting out of business, and they talked to him, and he just was kind of whatever. Wasn't particularly small player either. Small players are long gone. The whole philosophy that the day will come when it may even be illegal to grow your own garden, that it will be somehow be an un-American act, that you are dropping out of the economy somehow. I have kind of a old-timey affinity to back-to-the-land type people. But honestly, when push comes to shove, I think, at least for me, it's nostalgia. And you have to continue to press forward with the, the way things are, not knowing what is coming, and simply getting into the whole kind of understand it. I think up here I'm going to go ahead and walk all the way back down the road and back up. I'm getting out kind of early, and I don't want to be too early. I want to use up the bulk of my lunch hour in this walk. And that the Dashlant movement originally was just trying to reconnect with more natural processes. And I think that that's more interesting to me. Now it's become kind of a survivalist thing, you know, and it's become more of a political statement, you know. I think it always was a quasi-political statement. I think a lot of, you know, a lot of hippies were interested in thumbing their nose at the establishment. And I'd say most of those people went off to be, you know, environmentalists, radical environmentalists now, which I think is a little odd, a little off. And, you know, I think it is, it's back to the land gone mainstream, you know? Instead of being, well, how can I handle this thing without, you know, going into a lot of expense, how can I do this and do that, you know? It's less about innovation and trying to follow a different course than is trying to score political points these days, you know. It became trendy to be an environmentalist. Some of them got to be very big and very rich and very, and honestly, so much of the counterculture, very powerful. And, you know, and in doing that got a little, how do you say it, lost what I think integrity they had, you know. Just today, I was listening to what's his name? Glenn Beck. There had been a fire in Australia near Ayers Rock. You know where that is. In Australia, it's pretty much in the middle of Australia. Middle of nowhere, middle of nothing. And and this guy got to record. He was scouting for a film, and of course he had a camera out there taking his pictures, shooting film or video or something, and he came up with a fire tornado, was kind of what some people were calling it. It's called other things too. But they got on film, you know, and with YouTube and all the other ways that you can share video, it got out onto the web. And Al Gore wanted to buy rights to be able to use that film, you know, for his own purposes. And of course, you know, Al Gore has kind of adopted quite late in his life, I have to say, an environmentalist sort of take on things, you know. He's decided that that's something that he can really make some political hay over. It just seems that way to me, you know, that when it was unfashionable and unprofitable to be kind of an ecological person, you know, he was probably the first one to say to poo-poo it as nothing to be really paid attention to. So as soon as it became something interesting, he let himself be converted to it, I suppose. And he's since become a very powerful champion of the kind of contortions and the twists and the kind of stuff that environmentalists have to throw it at their philosophy of life to make what they do work. It's warm enough. I'm I'm getting a little bit hot. So Al Gore wanted a picture of this thing, and contacted this guy, and this guy said, "Oh, let me think about it," and went and did a little bit of research on Al Gore. Decided he didn't like him personally, and pretty much told him, "No, I'm not going to let you have any rights to it." And then, not too much later, a group, almost like kind of a film production group, looked to try and get rights to it. And he did a little digging on that group, and he said, "Hey, what's and he started digging around that, and he found out that it was basically just another machination of Al Gore, you know, that he was in charge of it. He was the corporate CEO, the chairman of this company, this corporation. And so the answer continued to be no. I know what you are. You're just Al Gore through a different phase, through a different instrumentality. Same thing though." And he said that he wasn't really interested in doing that because this fire tornado is not, as far as this guy is concerned, not have anything to do with climate change or anything like that. And he was afraid that Al Gore would be twisting this to try to scare more people into who knows. He is quite invested in the whole carbon tax, cap and trade sort of mentality, and anything he can produce now to make that, you know, to make that philosophy come to pass. Ooh, Liz. I guess we all go kind of fast down this road. I'm sure I'm no better. Twist my coat arms a little better in here. So it doesn't slide off so readily. There we go. Anyway, you know, and I think the more traditional kind of Baskin-Land sort of person was just a little suspicious, and that you did it because you were poor, you know. And let me tell you, once you're not poor anymore, the need to behave this way really kind of fades away pretty quickly, you know. It's much more of, hey, you know, because it was something I thought about doing, except for very rich kinds of people, very rare, you know, rich people who think that by behaving this way they're going to save the earth or that they can show some great example, you know, fine. But something that really can't be done by a normal person. I think take in mind Earthships. I look at Earthships. What was that guy's name? He used to play on Westerns. Robert Wagner? I'm not sure. I don't know how the guy was. But anyway. Movie star. Kind of rough Western type. He built one of these Earth ships, and they were kind of interesting. It was back in the 70s, back in the back to land movement. It was kind of cool because everybody was wondering what we were going to do with all these tires that were coming off of cars, and they're just getting burned, polluting the air, or just being stacked up somewhere. And he was using them to do kind of a rammed earth sort of wall. And, for kind of the body behind these walls. And, he used beer cans. I think he drank all the beer. He was one of those kind of guys. Movie stars are interesting because they make very strange rich people, you know. They didn't get rich in what would have been considered in the past traditional way. Now it's probably pretty much the predominant way of getting rich. Making two or three blockbuster movies, and then you're an incredibly wealthy person. You know, and then you don't really have to make movies anymore unless you really want to. And, but you've got more money than God. Not really, but, you know what I'm trying to say. But yet, that's a 10-year time period where they were wined and dined and all that stuff, and you cease to be really popular anymore. And, and I equate it to people who win the lottery, you know. It's not really anything you did. Movie stars tend to win the genetic lottery. They're beautiful people, you know. Doing television or movies is really kind of a being struck by lightning sort of a thing. It has more to do with being popular than being talented. I don't want to discredit those who work really hard on their craft and become great actors out of working on it really hard. But most people talk about the craft of acting are really talking more about, you know, I got really lucky, you know, popularity started to build, and, you know, popularity begets more popularity, which begets money and things like that. And so it generates these interesting people that basically are like lottery winners, you know. They didn't really do anything, you know. It wasn't like what you would hope would come with great wealth is the fact that you have worked diligently and hard to build up that wealth, and that in doing that, you got the kind of, at least habits that, made you really kind of a different person. You know, you could really say, oh no, the rich really are very different from us, you know, they work harder than we do. And you go, there are surely a lot of those people, but there are plenty of people that were just simply lottery winners. You know, right place, right time, you know, amazing thing dropped in their lap. For every one movie star, there are, you know, literally thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people who were just as pretty, just as talented, quote talented, just anything. And, but, you know, on that first tryout, on that first audition, they just didn't get chosen over this other person that did get chosen. And all of a sudden, they were this amazing thing. Wow! You know? And, you know, I look at it as just a different kind of lottery. You know, if you keep playing the lottery long enough, you know, if you keep throwing yourself out there, your chances are better than for other people for winning, you know, getting that final thing, being able to be in some movie that makes makes $300 million, and then all of a sudden, you get to walk on red carpets all the time, and, people take pictures of you. The more pictures they take, the more, you know, the more press you generate, the more the next movie that they're attending to want to put you in wants to, you know, they want to put you in that movie. And so, you know, like it does, it becomes this weird roller coaster ride where, you know, actually it's a little weirder than a lottery, because lotteries I couldn't strike by lightning. Although becoming a movie star is really close cousin to it. So yeah, I'm sorry, this guy, let me look up this guy, movie star with Earthship. What was that guy's name? I remember seeing him talking about it and saying he did it. I forget where he did it. It wasn't in California, Mexico, which is kind of where the community actually kind of started. Not James Cameron. What was that guy's name? He played like McMillan and Wife. I'm going to put that in. Very, he was Dennis Weaver, thank you, there he is. Dennis Weaver was the guy who had built an Earthship. He was living in Colorado, and he built an Earthship. And, so yeah, he was, you know, he was just a tiny bit of a star, and got him enough money to be able to pull this kind of stuff. You know, they get paid a lot. So, you know, and that's where the environmentalism now comes from, kind of these little people. So, you know, it's almost kind of a rite of passage. You know, wow, I've gotten this money, now I'm going to start worrying about saving the earth. And it really has nothing to do with intelligence. Just you know, just like you said, he says, you know, you can have an intelligent movie star, but it's not even a requirement. In fact, if you're intelligent and if you think about things, you're probably going to ruin your coming career for, you know, talking yourself out of those kinds of situations. It's hard to be, I think it's difficult to be a moral person and be really a very successful movie person. You know, there is always that incredible need to say, you know what, I'll take this role even though I find the person a total degenerate. You know, because I'm there for the money. You know, very, very much how success happens. It doesn't happen by having morals when it comes to that kind of stuff. It happens when you throw morals aside, you know, and you say, oh yeah, I'll do that kind of movie. That's no problem at all. I'll play that kind of a role. Doesn't matter to me. How much are you paying? I'm sorry. And it wasn't going to be like that. But yeah, that's what kind of brings in kind of, you know, these are not thoughtful people, particularly. Or they don't have to be, and therefore they don't tend to be. You know, you've got a pretty face. It has nothing to do with your brain. In fact, the more brain you have, the less likely we are to be, to want to deal with you, because you need to be, you know, people with brains aren't as plastic as gimlets. Anyway, so, I gotta stop. But, what was the point I was hoping to come to? You know, where all this stuff goes, and what people do, and how things are kind of falling apart, and how everything's about money now, and the fact that you have to actively, not go there, you know. You have to just kind of stay out of it as much as you can. So, and be a more authentic person, which I think is kind of, you know, there's plenty of people that, well, I don't know, play conservative. I also watched another movie today that was about, this guy who had done all this, found these cures for cancer that were very, very different, and they have been soundly rejected, and everybody says, where are the studies? And they said, we've got a lot of case studies. And they go, well, there's no research that's been done, so we're not going to support it. And you go, you know, but everybody who seems to try it seems to come back and say, you know what, I don't have cancer. And pretty quickly after I started doing it, I didn't have cancer anymore. You go, wow. Anyway, so it's been an interesting, I don't know if I'm doing a documentary day three, and one day seems a little bit like my brain's going to explode. Anyway, so there you go. Have a great day. Bye.